Hi, Mom.
Hi, Daff. We're back again.
We're back again. Guess who's back again?
So you know what happened when I put that last episode out?
And it was from October.
Yeah.
That and it's January 31st. It's the last day of January right now. Yeah,
but the episode that I put out last week. So I put the music on and I did the left, right split and I did all the things I was supposed to do. And then I uploaded the wrong fucking one. And Daphne was like, hey, Mom. And I was like, no, really?
She's like, no, you need to listen. I was like, I'm listening to this on Apple Podcasts. She's like, you need to listen to it somewhere else. And two more. So I was like, I think if it's on Apple, not going to be right anywhere else.
So then I listened to it like where I upload it into Audio Boom. And yeah, I uploaded the wrong fucking version of it. So apologies that we're left, right. And there's no music because I literally haven't done one for so long that it took me 15 fucking minutes to put the music
on. I was literally in Adobe. I was like, do we still have the rights to this music?
Yeah.
We should have gotten a notice if this was copyright infringement, but do we still have the rights?
Yeah, because we bought it. We have the rights forever and ever and ever.
We don't have the rights forever. We only have... No, we don't have the rights forever.
Sorry, I'm just... It's we a have to keep disappointment, not argument. No.
Well, you're the look on your face. I'm like, no, we have to keep licensing it. But that's what I keep doing is renewing the license.
Okay. My look was of disappointment, not of arguing.
Okay. I'm like, Mom, no. I was like, oh, sad
day. We don't own it forever and ever and ever.
No, as long as we keep licensing it.
Okay, we'll keep doing it, Daph.
Yeah, I am. I have.
Do the damn thing,
Daph. I am. I have. It was just a wrong file upload. Yeah. Not a lack of owning the rights right now.
Yep, it was a lack of...
Or licensing the rights, I should say.
It was lack of paying attention on my part.
Yeah, but it's fine. We're back. We're cool. We're chilling. We needed a little break, but now we're back and we're good.
We had a Lorelai Rory...
Season 5 breakup. Yeah, we had a little breakup. It's fine though. I no longer live at home. It's for the best. We needed us. We can't live with each other if we're going to love each other. We're the two different sides of the same coin, and how they live together, I'll never understand it.
But they don't. They didn't.
The coin?
Oh, the coin. I thought it meant Lorelai and Rory.
Oh yeah. No, no, they didn't. That's what I'm saying. We were having our breakup and now we're back together.
Yay.
Yeah. We're back.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Nobody cares.
Nope.
Once again, nobody cares.
Nope.
Except for Lindsay, who reached out and said, I hope everything's okay with you guys. So thank you, Lindsay. It was not okay in the moment.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah, but now it's fine.
Yes. So thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for reaching out.
It was bad and now it's fine.
It was bad and now it's cool.
Yeah. It was life.
Life be life-ed. Yeah,
it does.
Life be life-ed.
Yeah, thanks for checking on us.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
But here we are.
We're back.
We're giving it a go again.
We're giving it a go again. Right. So thank you to everyone who kept listening when we were down and out.
Yeah. Yeah, because we still kept getting listens and stuff, which is why we're like, well, we should probably just try it again.
Plus, we enjoyed it.
Well, there's that.
There's that.
Because I always
okay,
say,
Lorelai.
She's not a hillbilly southerner.
Oh, she's not a southerner. She's actually from Connecticut.
I believe.
I think they're in Connecticut, yeah.
Sounds good.
Stars Hollow, Connecticut?
I don't know.
It's a made-up town, though.
I don't think Stars Hollow is a real place, but...
Hartford, yeah, they're in Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah, because they talk about Hartford there. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, the grandparents live in Hartford, yes.
Yep.
Yeah, so she's actually a New England girl.
Yep. Not Southern.
Not Southern at all.
But, okay. All right.
Okay, what's your disturbing fact? What you got?
Okay, my disturbing fact is about...
Not about pee, I hope.
I mean, I guess we could segue into pee because it's about nightmares. And I guess you could have a really bad nightmare and then you could piss yourself.
Oh, God.
But that's not where I was going. But okay. Sure, if you wanted me to, I sure could.
Oh, no, I'm okay. That's why we always keep a liquid IV.
At all times.
And I wish we could say we were sponsored, but we're not. We just pay for it and really enjoy it.
Right. We like it, though. And we always need to have one on us just in case we're ever in a situation where we have to drink our own urine. We can add a liquid IV to it and make it yummy urine.
Yeah, grape flavored piss.
Yeah. Yeah, the grape one is my favorite.
Mine too.
All right.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay, so my disturbing fact is about nightmares and how come when you're having a dream that like you're making out with Brad Pitt or freaking Liam Hemsworth, or if you're a lesbian.
Please tell me why. And you said if you're having a dream you're making out with Edward from Twilight came in my brain.
Wow. Okay.
Well, making
that's a choice.
Yeah. I was like, but you said nightmare. Remember how I told you I used to have those nightmares all the time that I was like running from the colons on the beach?
Yes. So if you're that having
was a reoccurring nightmare in my life.
Fucking daft.
So if Jasper's you're having gonna get me
a good dream and you wake up, like the good dream's over, like you'll never be like, oh my God, I need to fall back to sleep right this second so I can be right back in Brad Pitt's arms or Bradley Cooper or, ooh, I know who's my fave.
Jensen Ackles.
Oh, yeah.
Who were you going to say?
I was going to say Chris Pratt, but you're not wrong.
Oh, I was also thinking Jesse, the Harley, the chopper dude.
Oh, yeah, but he's dead.
He died?
Yeah. Jesse Rook.
When did he die?
A long time ago. He died in a motorcycle accident. Died doing what he loves.
R.I.P. I didn't know
Jesse
that.
Jesse Brooke. Yes, I did love him very much. But yeah, Jensen Ackles. I was thinking Chris Pratt, but you are not wrong. Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say Jensen Ackles is the very top-notch trio.
This is not about my obviously overactive fantasy life where I'm a big old slut.
You're like, my hall pass is all four of my celebrity crushes.
Or 37, obviously. The list I went down.
Bradley Cooper.
Liam
Chris Hemsworth. Pratt. Yeah. Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Zac Efron.
Oh, yeah.
Dylan Efron. Zac Efron's brother. If you guys have never seen him.
Is he younger or older?
I don't know. Hmm. Same age-ish.
Okay.
Oh, my God. He's phenomenal.
Okay. Now Daphne's slutting it up in her fantasies.
Yeah, for Dylan Efron, hell yeah.
Okay. Anyway, when you're having a good dream like that and you wake up, like you don't tend to go back to it, right?
Okay.
But if you're having a bad dream, then you tend to go, like if you wake yourself up because you're like, fuck, I need to get away from whatever it is that's chasing me or whatever bad thing is happening in my dream. And then you fall back to sleep and you fall.
Nick Cannon.
Yeah, it's chasing you in your dream.
In my nightmare.
In your nightmare. So if you're having that, then like, you know how like you go right back to it? It's because you're not really awake. It's like
your subconscious being awake?
Yeah. It's or a
not awake at all, I guess?
It's not, you're not actually awake. It's like a false awake or false.
It's a false alarm.
It's a false alarm. It's not, you're not really awake because when you're having like those hardcore dreams like that, like nightmares, which are way more common than good dreams, unfortunately. It's because you're in that REM stage of sleep, which is associated with the most intense dreaming. And the second half of the REM sleep is the most likely time for you to have a nightmare. And I mean, if you're lucky enough to fucking sleep, which is not something that I am fully aware of, sleeping.
Same, I just get unconscious.
But anyway, so that's why.
I take a lot of pills.
You're not really awake. So you're like in this dream loop thing or an awake loop, I guess, because you think you're awake, but you're not really awake. And so when you're like subconscious mind.
And then here comes Nick Cannon being like, be my 15th baby mama. No.
Anyway, so yeah, that's it. And that's pretty, I find that to be pretty disturbing.
Yeah, that you never really wake up.
And it's
are any of us really awake? Oh, God, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, don't do that. No doing that. So yeah, that's why it is, because you're in this REM period of sleep when you're having these really bad nightmares. And also that's why you also can have sleep paralysis when you're doing that, because you're not really awake. And so it's your subconscious mind that's saying that you're awake. And so your body can't move, because your body really can only move consciously when you're conscious. You know what I mean? Like, so you can move in your sleep, but that's subconscious movement. But when you're trying to wake up from a nightmare, you think you're awake and you're not really awake. You can't move because it's really your subconscious saying, oh, yeah, I'm awake, but you're not. So that's where sleep paralysis also comes in.
Okay.
So it's pretty interesting, yeah?
That is interesting.
Yeah. And I don't know why.
It's sketchy that the human brain works the way it does. And it's also weird that you can study those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Not you personally. I know you didn't.
Totally. I Googled it. That counts, right?
Yeah. You're like, I was in the sleep study. I was, in fact, making out with Jensen Ackles, and it wasn't a nightmare.
Oh, no. That wouldn't be a nightmare. But that'd be when I'd fucking wake up. For real. Not subconsciously wake up, but really wake up and then be like, no, go back to sleep, Gail. That you were just getting to the good part. He was just going to take his shirt off. And then you go back to sleep and there you are running from Nick Cannon.
Be my 15th baby mama.
Daphne's been watching too much reality TV is what I'm getting from this.
Way too much. I love it, though.
Yeah.
I can't help it. I love my reality TV. All right. Well, that is sketchy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's also sketchy that I love reality TV.
Me too, hey. Sometimes. But do you think it's really, like, yeah, I think it's weird.
I think it is weird. Yeah, I'm just in a constant negative dream loop. Nightmare loop.
Nightmare loop.
Yeah.
Yep. A sleep loop.
A sleep loop.
Mm-hmm.
Not sleep poop. Sleep loop.
Sleep loop. And not like those earphone thingies that go over your ears while you're sleeping. That's also a sleep loop. But those are a commercially marketed item.
Yep. Our brains, not commercially marketed.
Thank God.
Well, we could be one day.
We're trying to be.
We are trying to be. Okay, let's jump into
this. Do it, Daph. Do it. Do it.
Yeah, because again, nobody cares and we're 11 minutes into nobody caring.
We're actually almost 12 minutes into nobody caring.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. Remember our last time in October? It's been that long. But to everyone else, it's only been a week.
But I listened to it like 2 weeks ago.
I did too. So
yeah,
we're good. The murder of Martina Tadia Benz.
Mm-hmm. The nun sister.
Sister. Yeah. So we don't give recaps here. Listen to that.
Fuck off.
Remember how I was saying.
I'm not going to tell you what happened. There's no previously on That's Disturbing.
There is no previously on That's Disturbing podcast. Remember how I was saying that Sister Tadia was really similar to another murder that happened.
You have to go listen.
You have to go listen. Anyway, in the episode, I kept saying July 7th, July 7th, July 7th. Yeah, it was actually on July 8th. So.
And there's that.
So thank God I'm here to correct that mistake. Yeah. So it's very similar. Sister Tadia was really similar to another murder that happened on July 8th of 1981. Well, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice lists the murder happening on July 8th. So I'm going to roll with that source.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just like thinking, and how correct are they? Whatever.
Also that. This was the murder of Narnie Box Bryson. We briefly touched on her in the first part. I couldn't find, like, any information on her life.
I hate that.
I know, me too.
Basically, she's inconsequential to anybody who would have written anything about her, which sucks. R.I.P. Narnie.
Yeah, R.I.P. Narnie.
Narnie.
She was born, though, April 25th, 1904.
Sorry. Obviously, she had to be born in order to be killed.
Her Find a Grave page said that she was married to Harold Otis Pitts, and he passed away in 1945. And she had a son, Harold O. Pitts Jr., that was born in 1925. And she was a retired switchboard operator. That's all we know about her.
Well, it sounds like it was a decent life.
Yeah, she lived a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Until she was murdered by a fuckface.
Being a switchboard operator sounds really cool. If you like watch those old movies and they're like, cute, Opal, can you please connect me? Opal, connect me. Or whoever your name is. Nancy, get me the judge. I need the sheriff. And you're like pulling those little switchboard thingies.
I guess I have to watch an old movie.
Yes, you do. Wow.
Although I'm accused a lot in my life of loving old movies where, like, my friends don't ever watch anything that's old. And right now I'm on this big old 90s kick.
I literally was just going to say, but you think movies from the 80s and 90s are old. I'm talking, like, old, old. Like, before.
Well, yes, switchboards.
Yes, switchboards old.
Yeah, well, I do love It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay.
And The Wizard of Oz. Do also it. Seen Wicked like 800 times. Love it. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's great.
Watch it.
Okay. On July 8th, 1981, someone broke into her home, raped her, beat her, then strangled her with a telephone cord. During this attack, she also broke a few bones.
So her life was good until that day.
Yeah. Poor now, thing. This case would sit cold until 2004.
Jeez.
Now, remember Johnny Frank Garrett?
Mm-hmm.
He was put to death in 1992. So... He was
12 years later.
He was put what?
12 years later in 2004.
12 years later in 2004
was the what? Other case became an uncold case.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Mom.
Daph.
Remember last time we said that he didn't do it?
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying. That's,
it's inconsequential to this because he didn't do it. But it's just the point of the fact that he was put to death in 1992 is all I'm saying.
Okay. I'll shut up.
Nothing about a 12-year time. Nothing about a 12-year time difference, Mom. I mean, yes, it would sit cold until 2004 after he was put to death at that point. But he was never put in relation to Narni's murder.
Oh, I thought, never mind. Okay.
Okay, so he was put to death for the murder of Sister Tadia Benz, which he did not commit.
Right, but I thought he was like, they were linking it to other murders.
So here's a skinny little recap from the last episode. Is skinny. Listen to the other part, people. There was a Hispanic man raping elderly women.
Yes. Sorry, I'm nodding. That doesn't
matter. A man with an accent called the convent in the middle of the night and called himself Father Jose, said he wanted to talk to a priest, then said he was having sexual problems and kept asking her to help with the sexual problems. And then Amarillo PD talked to two men, Fernando Felipe Flores and Leoncio Perez Ruda, who were both Cuban refugees. Remember, we're also in the Amarillo saying we're in the Cuban refugee crisis at this time period.
Right.
And so neither had a significant criminal record. Both men did manage to get caught on separate occasions as peeping Toms, charged with trespassing. The DA was trying to convict Fernando of being Sister Tadia's murderer, but they got a search warrant, found fibers from Sister Tadia's blue nightgown on his clothing on November 7th, went to arrest him. Blood test came back, said you got the wrong guy, wasn't really Fernando. Fingerprints, hair forwarded to the FBI, did not match Fernando's. Again, not our guy. Okay, that's mm-hmm. our skinny little recap.
Okay.
So his family, Jesse's family, hired Jesse L. Quackenbush, or Johnny's. Did I say Jesse's?
Yeah, I'm like, who's Jesse?
Johnny's family hired Jesse L. Quackenbush he's a personal injury and defense criminal attorney. They hired him to clear his name.
Because that other lawyer that showed up, nobody knew where he came from or who he was.
It was a piece of shit, yeah.
It was just like, you're guilty. Okay, cool, bye.
So Jesse sent a letter to the Potter County District Attorney, Rebecca King, and...
No relation.
No relation to us, no, that we know of. I don't know, the king, there's a lot of kings out there. Definitely not relation to you. You're king by marriage.
King by marriage.
Why do you keep going Southern on me today?
I think you started it.
I didn't. Maybe I did. I don't know. I wasn't singing country music.
Okay.
I always sing with a twang whenever I sing country music.
A twang, like Mark Twain, or a twang, like country?
A twang, like a twinkie twang.
It's with a G, not a K. Jesus. Okay, well.
Everybody loves me for my brain and my words. Come on. Or nobody loves me for it. Whatever.
So many things. Okay.
Anyway, he sent a letter to the DA, Rebecca King, to release evidence in the case for testing DNA because the 1981 DNA testing is junk compared to 2004, right? Technology's different. Things have changed. Jesse said that the Amarillo police at the time had concluded that it was a Hispanic man with black curly hair that had raped and beaten 10 elderly women in their homes.
10?
Yep.
Jeez.
And remember, they had the shitty forensic pathologist at the time.
Yeah.
That stupid piece of shit. Don't even want to get into him, really.
No.
But he falsified stuff, also threw out the semen samples. Yeah, Jesse's like, I'm writing this letter. We need to reopen this case. I'm sorry. I'm going to give you all the 22 points that were made in this letter.
Okay, please do.
Well, I know you're like, really? You're going to read all 22 numbers in the serial numbers?
No, this is different.
This is 22 points that were, and I'm like, I'm summarizing all of the points or paraphrasing, if you will. So when there's exact quotes, I will be saying quote, unquote.
Okay.
Okay. Point one, Leoncio Perez Ruda. A Cuban refugee and convicted felon that had arrived in Amarillo in 1980 was responsible for raping and brutally beating 10 elderly women in their homes in the spring of 1981. That's point one.
So he was responsible for 10, that one guy.
So 2 weeks after Narni's murder, he was arrested for being a peeping Tom in elderly women's windows. But we're going to circle back around to this. Let's continue with the letter.
Okay, do it. Sorry. Shut up.
After reviewing the facts of each crime, Amarillo PD concluded a Hispanic man, most likely a Cuban man, was the perp. We're going to get into how we know that later. Also, okay. we're just going through this list of facts or of points made, I guess, whatever. Anyway, Amarillo PD launched a sweep of the Cuban community, stopping, searching, detaining, questioning, arresting, and checking background of all suspicious males in this time frame. In some cases, hair and blood samples were forced from potential suspects, including Leoncio Perez Ruda. At this point, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On July 8th, 1981, Narni Box Bryson, 77, brutally beaten, raped, mutilated, strangled to death in her own home, which was within walking distance of the other rapes of the elderly women. And the killer's semen was collected, as well as black curly hair samples were sent to the FBI. And witnesses reported seeing a Hispanic-looking man leaving the area at the time of death, like around in the area, you know? So like they're seeing... The time of death is reported as this. They're seeing this man leaving the area around this time. 2 weeks after Narnie's murder, Leoncio was arrested for being a peeping Tom in the same neighborhood that Narnie lived in. Peeping Tom of an elderly woman.
Okay.
And he was charged with trespassing, but they didn't like do any pushing or anything. And they basically just like let him go. And he was released very shortly after being arrested for trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly all the rapes just stopped.
Hmm.
Yeah. But then on Halloween night, 115 days after Narnie's murder, the killer struck twice. A woman who was raped, beaten, and beaten into a coma and was left for dead on Van Buren Street. And then, of course, we have Sister Tadia Benz, who was in the St. Francis Convent. And police recovered the killer's hair, semen, socks, a V-neck, a white V-neck T-shirt, and a footprint from the scene. And both Halloween night victims lived within a few blocks of Narnie.
Okay.
So we're talking a very close proximity with all of these things happening.
Okay.
Point number seven, the rape was confirmed by a shitty pathologist, by that shitty ass pathologist who examined Sister Tadia's body. And again, the samples from the hair collected on her body were sent to the FBI. But as we discussed, the pathologist, he's fucking sucks. He's the worst. Didn't send the semen samples to the FBI. Danny Hill, the DA, remember that DA who was like hell-bent on the death penalty? He had this really fucked up agenda. And the other investigators believed the murders of Narnie and Sister Tadia were too similar to not have been committed by the same man. And also the Amarillo police made these comparisons in a newspaper report. I'm going to go through all the comparisons now. Witnesses reported a Hispanic male in the vicinity of both crimes near the time of death. Both victims were associated with religious groups assisting Cuban refugees. Both victims were elderly women. Both victims died during the early morning hours. Both were raped. Both were strangled with a cord or a rope. Both were mutilated in similar ways. Both murders occurred within blocks of each other. The killer's curly black hairs were found at the scene of each murder. Okay, so those police are reporting these to the public.
Right. And wasn't Johnny blonde or something?
I don't think he was blonde. Maybe. I think he might have. But he didn't have curly hair, though. Like, right, we're talking
that long.
Yeah.
80s hair.
Yeah, but it was like pin needles straight. It was not.
Right.
It wasn't coiled at all. We're talking like a coiled piece of hair, basically.
Gotcha.
A textured piece of hair, you know?
Mm-hmm.
On November 4th, 1981, Danny Hill, the DA, made this statement to a newspaper. This is point number nine, sorry. Quote, I have a strong feeling that there is one person involved in the deaths of the Bryson women and the nun, end quote. Point number 10, a week after Sister Tadia's murder, the police found a witness who spotted a Hispanic male near the convent at the time of the death. The witness picked Fernando Flores out of a lineup, and he could be Leoncio's twin. Like, they literally looked exactly alike.
Okay.
And remember, we mentioned in the first part, the FBI confirmed, we just mentioned this little skinny recap we did. Blood test said he's not the killer.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't him. And the victim in the coma when she woke up from Van Buren Street, that victim, when she woke up, she had no memory of the attack at all. So yeah, she couldn't identify anyone.
I was going to say, you said she had no recollection.
Yeah, so she couldn't identify anyone. Number 11, but whoever that witness was, you know, was right on the money, just wrong guy.
Right.
On the money, wrong guy, but he wasn't an option in the photo lineup.
Gotcha.
But again, they looked so similar. Number 11, Danny Hill publicly apologized for his premature optimism for solving the case. And within 72 hours of this apology is when clairvoyant Bubbles came into the picture and stating she had a dream of the murderer being a teenager living near the convent, had a slender build, dark hair, and a blinking face. And she was able to point exactly to his house, knew it was him. Guess she actually did help solve a murder at some point. So she was somewhat a reliable person to the police, but not really, obviously.
Clearly.
But she did help with one murder, but she totally missed on this one.
Right.
Point number 12, a few days later, the police decided Johnny Frank Garrett matched the description. Point number 13, Johnny was arrested and thrown into a jail cell. Jail cell with convicted serial killer J. Kelly Pinkerton, and he supposedly confessed, remember? But there were like no tapes, or the tapes were lost, or something happened, and
they accidentally turned it off.
Right, and then he was like, actually, I'm innocent, wouldn't sign the 8-line confession that was concocted by the police, mm-hmm. all that. His mom and his sister vouched for him on the Halloween night. You know, during the two attacks, he was with us. He was just basically coaxed into this confession.
Right.
But that never really happened, parent. Or
most likely.
It wasn't recorded if it did.
Right.
They just browbeat allegedly, him into, it happened.
They just browbeat him into signing something.
But he didn't ever sign anything.
Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't sign anything. He wouldn't. There was an 8-line confession that they wrote up that he didn't sign. And for some unknown reason, after Johnny's arrest, the piece of shit medical examiner threw out all the semen samples from Sister Tadia's autopsy. And he testified that he did because no one ever asked him to save them.
Who would have thought you might need those?
And then years later, he was prosecuted for falsifying evidence and other fraudulent activities and was sent to prison.
Good.
Yeah. So
too little too late, but whatever.
Number 15, Johnny was convicted, but swore he would appeal and be exonerated someday. And throughout the process, he was passed from one appointed attorney to the next, you know, and eventually he like lost hope in the system. And despite literally a character reference being written for him by the Pope.
Oh, wow.
Declaring that he didn't do it.
Wow.
He was still put to death on February 11th, 1992. And unlike 98% of other executed prisoners, he said he was innocent. Everyone else is like, yeah, I guess I did it. Like, I'm dying. Ha ha ha. You know? He's like, no, I didn't do it. Really? You know? He's one of the 2% saying all this. Number 16. That's kind of
crazy that only 2% will be proclaiming their innocence.
Yeah, until their dying breath. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Number 16. Danny Hill never attempted to connect Johnny to Narnie's murder or the other attack on Halloween or any of the other rapes or, you know, any of the other attacks. Despite having Johnny's DNA and the perp's DNA, and the attacks just went cold from that point, you know. We're talking about his trial still, I guess, kind of. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we're reading this letter, but this is in terms of the trial, it went cold, that they never test the evidence. 23 years later, March 2004, Texas Department of Public Safety notified Amarillo PD that a random DNA match had been made. So they were like going back through all their stuff. Okay, point number 17. 23 years later, in March of 2004, the Texas Department of Public Safety notified Amarillo PD that a random DNA match was made between the semen samples from Narnie's autopsy. These semen samples came from a preserved bedsheet. So they like tested that. And then a Hispanic male who was in prison in New Mexico, and the killer for Narnie was finally solved. Guess who it was?
Let me guess. It wasn't Johnny. Was it Fernando?
No.
Oh, it was that other guy that looked just like him. I can't think of his name. I'm sorry.
Leoncio Perez Ruda.
There you go, Leoncio.
Yes, I'm like, really? Have you been paying attention this whole time?
No, I have. I just couldn't because they look the same. And oh, yeah.
You haven't even seen them.
Well, you keep saying it.
Okay, so.
Can we just say that again?
The same.
Do-over.
Really? Put your face back to the microphone. What are you doing? You're like trying to sit in my lap. What are you doing?
I just missed you because you moved out. Now we're just in your lap.
Okay, so he was arrested 2 weeks after Narnie's murder. Remember, neighborhood being a peeping Tom. 1981, he was receiving assistance from the Catholic Family Services and living with a Catholic family on Van Buren Street.
That's where Narnie lived.
Narnie lived in that area, but that woman.
But the woman who got beaten into the coma, she's the one that lived on Van Buren Street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if she lived there, but that's where it happened. That's where the attack happened.
Okay.
Yeah. So right there, like within just blocks of her. He was where he was living.
Okay.
Blocks of the attack. So Jesse interviewed Leoncio at the Potter County Correctional Facility. And during the interview, he gave a detailed recount of the murder of Narni. And when asked about the other elderly women, he said he beat a nun to death on Halloween night.
Jeez.
And that the white V-neck shirt that was found at the St. Francis Convent was allegedly given to him by Narni. Yeah. So he probably stole it from her house.
Right.
Also described a pocket knife, which was used to stab Sister Tadia. And he gave up his fingerprints and hair samples at this time, too. So this is just all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Point number 19. Johnny's lawyers never raised the following evidentiary facts or issues during the trial or appeals. I'm going to go through this list of things that they didn't bring up. Foreign black hair is not matching Johnny's found on Sister Tadia's fitted sheet, which was the APD evidence tag number 9.
Okay.
A white V-neck t-shirt found with Sister Tadia's blood and foreign black hair is not matching Johnny's found at the base of the bed. Evidence tags 6 and 8. Foreign black hair is not matching Johnny's were found on the blue nightgown Sister Tadia wore during the attack. Evidence bag 11 or evidence tag 11, sorry. A footprint not matching any of Johnny's shoes was found in the glass on the floor. Remember how the killer broke the window to come in?
Mm-hmm.
Evidence tag number 34. None of those shoes match Johnny's, that shoe print. A bent butter knife found beneath the bed, alleged by the DA to have been used to stab Sister Tadia Benz more than a dozen times, which had no blood on it.
Right.
Was never brought up in trial. Blood possibly from the attacker was found on an exit door in a wall at the convent. But the DA, police, and Johnny's own defense team decided not to compare his blood to that blood.
Well, why would you?
Evidence tags 20 and 21.
Wow.
Yeah, right. Why would you set an innocent man up to, right, to look guilty?
Right.
Because it fits your agenda.
Yeah, exactly. We just need to catch somebody and death penalty it is. And
right. You killed a nun. Death penalty immediately for you.
Yeah.
And it's Texas, so yeah, love to kill people in Texas. Foreign hair not matching Johnny's was found in Sister Tadia's mouth at the autopsy. Evidence tag 54.
In her mouth?
In her mouth.
Oh, because you never said that. Because remember how, of course you remember, but how they like thought that it was natural causes or whatever.
Yeah.
And that they had like cleaned her up.
That they wrapped, yeah, that the other nuns were like, and they called the funeral home.
Yeah, and they had already started the embalming process.
And then it was the funeral home who was like, or no, who was it? No, I'm trying to remember who it was that was like, No, one of them later decided to call the police. That's what had happened.
Oh, because she was stabbed 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like, oh, hey, wait, this is not really consistent with a natural death. Although we've already started embalming her. But it appears that she's been stabbed 12 times. 12 times, right?
Yeah, more than 12, I think. More than 12. But, okay. Unidentified fingerprints were found and never tagged or connected. Foreign hairs found on her body that did not match Johnny's. Evidence tags 55 and 56. Like we're talking, you know, the nether regions, not good places.
Gotcha.
Not
good places.
The FBI confirmed that none of the knives that had come from Johnny's home, so they confiscated a bunch of his knives, right,
mm-hmm,
were not consistent with any of the ones that were used to slice open the screen at the convent where the assailant then broke in, the shoe prints left on that broken glass, all that right there.
Right.
On November 2nd, 4th, and 6th of 1981, a few days before Fernando's arrest, the APD took hair samples from several other Hispanic descent males, Cuban guys, right, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pulled evidence from all these people, but that wasn't ever brought up in trial.
Right. They're like, we'll get it, but we're not going to really do anything with it.
During the days immediately following Sister Tadia's murder, neighbors living in the area were questioned about a suspicious Hispanic male in the area the night of the murder around the same time. So those are all the things that they never brought up in trial.
Wow.
Fucked. Point number 20. Dozens of Johnny's fingerprints were left throughout the convent because he went into the convent days before, was snooping around.
Yeah, because he was moving stuff, right?
So, yes, he was at one point a good Samaritan and they're moving things.
Oh.
This was not brought up in trial. I didn't bring it up in the first part. Point 20. Dozens of Johnny's fingerprints were left throughout the convent because he went into the convent days before. Part one, we said it was because he was moving furniture and stuff and that was true at one point, being a good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
This point that, you know, okay, anyway, let me just continue with this note. He was in there snooping around, took a butter knife, bent it trying to pry open a locked cabinet. That was how that wound up under Sister Tadia's bed. That okay. bent butter knife that was that didn't have any blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
His lawyers never requested access to substantiate this claim. And he said he went in there to steal necklaces with crosses on them. And these necklaces were found at the time of his arrest. So his story lines up. His 14-year-old buddy confirmed, yeah, we went and did that. We stole all those necklaces.
Was this before or after, though? I mean, did the 14-year-old buddy confirm it?
At the trial, not in front of the jurors.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So just things that are, you know, done out of fuckery. So yeah, he's confirmed it, but the jurors didn't hear any of it. Yeah.
Which is kind of surprising in a way, because you'd be like, oh, well, he did this, so obviously he killed her.
Yeah.
You know, but
right.
whatever, either way, it didn't matter. He, yeah.
It didn't fit their agenda to have the friend confirm, oh, yeah, we were in there stealing necklaces.
Right.
I don't know why they were stealing necklaces, but they were with crosses. Yeah.
Yeah. For something to do.
Yeah. Apparently. Hmm. I don't know if they were going to sell them. I don't know. Point number 21, which is the one that just sends me of all the 22 points. Point number 21. One juror was related to the judge.
Oh, that's not a conflict of interest.
Four jurors were friends with the police.
Oh, my gosh.
That were investigating this case. So not just, you know, our random traffic stop police,
mm-hmm.
our investigators in this trial.
Wow.
Another juror before had done business with the pathologist.
Oh my gosh.
Dr. Erdman, piece of shit.
Wow.
Yeah, talk about fucking conflict of interest. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's...
So, point number 22. The first appointed appeals of the lawyer for Johnny... Or the lawyer that was appointed for his appeals. I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't know how I phrased that. That came out wrong.
That's okay.
He resigned before he even got to the first appeal for Johnny because he got hired by the DA.
Wow.
So
I
just
have no words.
So many.
For
okay.
A lot of these
that's,
things.
That's
the letter.
That's the letter. And all the tags that I had mentioned mm-hmm. in the evidence were preserved in 2004 when this letter was wrote. So there could very much be means of testing all of these things against Leoncio Ruda Perez. But instead, you know, this letter's written so they could reopen the case. They never reopened the case for Sister Tadia. So Johnny's name has still not been cleared.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Isn't that so fucked up?
It's really sad.
Like, the evidence is clearly that it wasn't Johnny.
Right.
It's so fucking sad.
It's really sad.
Jesse Quackenbush went on to make a documentary called The Last Word in defense of Johnny Frank Garrett's innocence. And, you know, still nothing's happened.
20 years later.
Yeah, 20 years later.
21 years later now.
On January 3rd, 2005.
21 years later from 2004.
Yes.
Not from 1981.
Yeah.
And then 92 when he was put to death.
Yeah. Okay. So on January 3rd, 2005, Leoncio Perez Ruda pled guilty to murdering Narnie Box Bryson.
Well, that's good. At least that.
Yeah. So he's now 74 years old. He's serving a 45-year sentence. He has no scheduled release. 45-year sentence from when he pled guilty in 2005.
Sorry, I just have a look because somebody who was innocent got put to death for something.
And he's not even getting life.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even be like, yeah, here, have life.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm like, really? But it just, I don't know. And it's, yeah, it's obviously inconsequential to people who just don't care because they're not looking at it again. They're not reopening it. They're not. Like, they're like, man, we
so
moved
he was,
on. He's dead. Don't worry about it.
Let me finish my last point, then we can talk about it. He was denied his last parole hearing.
Well, that's at least
in September of 2004. So, okay, now we can talk about things. That's all my notes. That's all I could find. You know, I can find a lot about the innocence of Johnny Frank Garrett. Mm-hmm. What I can't find is a lot about Narnie Box Bryson. And I can't find out a lot about Sister Tadia Benz. I can't find out anything about the other victims. I mean, granted, you know, they were assaulted, but they were not murdered. So their names are not released.
Okay. So was Narnie the only
I can't
one?
Find anything about Leoncio Ruda Perez, and I don't know why he was in prison in New Mexico either. I'm having like the hardest time finding these things out. So I don't have any of those answers, unfortunately, for you. I don't know much about their lives otherwise.
But Narni was the only one that was killed that we know of, because you said there were 10 other victims, but they were not assaulted, not raped.
Yeah, they were assaulted, not murdered.
Right.
Yes. That she was the only murder that we know of. Yes, she was the only murder that we know of. Yeah. OK, so some of the points that I had made to bring back up during this case or during this episode was the fact that we knew that Johnny Frank Garrett was a victim as a child. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it happened under his mother's nose. I do not believe his mother knew about any of the assault that happened to him until things started to come out about him. I think is when she learned about his mistreatment as a child and being sold. But otherwise, I don't think she knew. And I know you said in the last part, how does it happen under mom's nose? Well, like I said, there were many kids and she was working all the time. So it would reasonably happen. And he was out of the house all the time, too. So I feel like that's pretty reasonable that could happen under her nose if she's, you know. I'm not saying that. Here's the thing is, I don't think she was neglectful, though, either. I think she was not always physically present.
Okay.
Because she did go on to fight and is still fighting to this day to clear his name.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. And, you know, now at this point, they've hired this Quackenbush guy, Jesse Quackenbush. And they've hired so many, you know, people to try and clear his name. There was a whole documentary done now by Jesse Quackenbush to try and clear his name. So that's why I find that. And I watched the documentary, too. So like she didn't say anything about knowing until after things started coming out.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just really sad. This whole thing really sucks. I had a really hard time trying to research this. At first, it sounded great and awesome until I started. Not great and awesome, but it sounded like a good case that I wanted to cover, right? Mm-hmm. Like the murder of a nun on Halloween. That sounds so cult-like behavior, like so like ritualistic kind of behavior. And I was very interested in that aspect of it and hoping to find more on that. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the deeper I dove, it's like an innocent man put to death. This witch hunt for all of these Cuban men, which is really sad because then it's like almost like a race war is happening.
Yeah, it's racial profiling.
Yeah.
Even though they ended up putting to death for the murder of the nun was a white kid that was innocent.
Yeah.
And then the guy that ended up being guilty of someone else's murder
was a Cuban refugee.
Was actually, yeah, a Cuban refugee.
But yeah, so there's just like a lot there that I couldn't find information on that is just not public knowledge. Like, well, I got like an ancestry.com membership, like trying to find like all these things, you know. Well, I was trying to find out like all these things and I couldn't, like, I just could not find
effort on your part.
Yeah, I couldn't find these resources. Like a lot of the documentary case talks about the case for why he's innocent, but not a lot about the case for why Leoncio did it.
Well, yeah, because it's about Johnny.
Yeah.
It's about his innocence, not about the other guy's guilt.
Yeah.
But, well, everything got destroyed, like all of the, okay, not destroyed.
The semen samples got thrown out.
But the hair, they saw the hair, right? They chose not to test it.
I think they just, yeah, didn't test it against Johnny's. I think they just decided they had him.
Well, no, I'm talking about Leoncio, though.
They haven't reopened the case. That's so why.
They're not testing it.
Because yeah.
They're not
reopening the case. That's why. Gotcha. Or they haven't yet. They have yet to reopen it. Will they ever? I don't know.
Sounds
as of the doubtful. Last time that they've that anyone has talked about this that I could find other than other podcasts, which I try not to listen to.
Right.
About things, unless like I have to listen, I'm trying to find some resources.
Right.
Then.
But yeah, you don't want other people's opinions.
I don't want my mind to be
swayed
biased
one way or the other, yeah.
Before I even start.
Yep. I gotcha. I never listen to stuff either because.
But I couldn't find anyone. This was an opinion piece I found, but it was from 2012 and it was written. It wasn't a podcast. And it was basically this opinion piece was just talking about, like, it was a plea for why they haven't reopened the case, basically.
Well, thanks. I do appreciate it. And I understand where the cultism and the like, ooh, ritualistic Halloween nun murder would be like, woo. And then you get into it and you're like, well, fuck, I still need to know about this, that, and the other. And why did this innocent guy get put to death? And yeah.
Yeah. So it went from being a really quick one-parter to now being a really long time researching two-parter.
Well, thank you.
But I think this case isn't that long. Yeah, no, it's not that long at all. I knew it was going to be pretty quick because of the lack of information that I'm able to get my hands on. But a lot of the information I do have is official documentation, which is cool.
Always the way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but like I said, I did find like that opinion piece. But other than, you know, these signed documents from 2004, 2005 at the latest, dating back to the 80s, pieces of signed documentation from the 80s up until 2004, maybe 2005. That's like what I could find.
All right. Well, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
And welcome back.
And welcome back. All right. You can find us at That's Disturbing Podcast at gmail.com. That's not it.
Wow. Are you
That's Disturbing Podcast at gmail.com is our email. If you want to send us a case request or do anything of that nature or send me some resources and be like, Daphne, you missed this huge piece of something. But I spent a long time researching a lot of things. Couldn't find a lot of info out. In fact, I spent 2 months. And then
not a dedicated 2 months, though. It's not like you never stopped for 2 months.
No, it was definitely wasn't dedicated, but I have looked into things for about 2 months now.
Right. Where you keep going back to it.
Yeah, I kept going back to it. OK, our Instagram is That's Disturbing Podcast. You can follow us there. Yeah, that's all I got. OK, because we don't have a website anymore. I'm like trying to remember, what's my shtick? What's this spiel? What do I say? I know what I say at the very end, though. Bye bye.